from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All day talking about that Texas Roadhouse story with just like different angles. Like right now, Rob, I give you and Caroline two tickets and you can go anywhere in the United States. The only catch is you have to eat every one of your meals at Texas Roadhouse. Are you going? I will cover your flight. I'll cover your hotel. The only catch is that's the only place you can eat. I don't care. You cannot eat anywhere else. You go to Miami, Florida, every single meal. You at the Texas Roadhouse. Are you taking that trip? Are you going? You go to New Orleans right now. No, you think you having seafood? No gumbo? No, you not having any of that. You having the fried pork chops at Texas Roadhouse. Are you taking that deal?
No, because any city I'd want to go to, I lose out on the food and the culture to eat Texas Roadhouse exclusively.
Every meal.
Like if
brunch, dinner.
All of
lunch,
them.
Just waking up 4 days. It's the only place you can eat. You can only eat at Texas Roadhouse. I'm telling you, I could do that all day. I really could.
Or you have to take a trip to a place that's just not like, oh, Rob, you get a week and it's going to be great in Billings, Montana. Well, that's okay. Whatever.
Oh, that sounds like a great time. I just can't imagine. Like, you go to a city, like, it's your first time in Los Angeles, California. You know, great city. You know, so many great restaurants, so many different kind of places. Only place you can eat, Texas Roadhouse. Hey, the next one's 30 minutes away. We don't care. It's the only place you can go eat, and you can't eat at the same one twice. That sounds like a miserable vacation, not one that I'd be too excited about. All right, let's get to very serious things. I am so happy, so proud of my brother, Danny Parkins. Today, tomorrow, he is filling in for Colin Cowherd. And for my money, Colin Cowherd is the best sports talk host in the country. I think if you had to make a power ranking of best shows in the country, maybe you put Pat McAfee one, maybe you put Cowherd one, it doesn't matter. Those are the only two that are in the conversation for best sports talk show in the country. So the fact that Danny gets to fill in, and not just on the radio, he was on the TV earlier today. If you want to check it out, man, I'm so happy for my guy. I got a chance to talk to him yesterday. I'm going to talk to him later today. I want to hear more of the stories of the behind the scenes of what happened. We wouldn't do this for any other host or any other show or any other situation. But if Danny is on the Herd, oh, we talking about it on this show. So, I mean, in Danny Parkins fashion, you got to go with what you know in this scenario is when you're the fill-in. Rob, he did his 3 NFL overs. He did his 3 NFL unders. Why don't we go through the overs, shall we?
I'll give you my 3 favorite overs and 3 favorite unders for this upcoming season. And then if nothing else, you can hold it against me come December or January once we see whether or not these predictions have gone well or terribly. So we'll start with the teams that I think will exceed expectations on their number. And we will start with the Super Bowl favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs. This stat, in fact, I feel like does not get nearly enough attention. I know it does in the gambling world, but I'm talking mainstream. So the Chiefs over-under is at 11.5. Andy Reid now has been there a while. He has signed multiple contract extensions since getting to Kansas City. The Chiefs have gone over their win total every single season that Andy Reid is there. The next team gets so much talk, so much attention, but all for things that don't really matter on the field. Dallas Cowboys, over 10.5 wins. They've won 12 straight. They've won 12 games three straight years. No, they win 11. That would still be an over. The talk is, okay, they brought back Zeke Elliott and they lost Tony Pollard. It's a downgrade. They lost a couple of offensive linemen. I'm in agreement. It's a downgrade. The team did not get better. They've been stuck in quicksand this offseason. But I think Philly's going to get worse. We'll get to them in a second. The rest of the division is still bad. And then the Atlanta Falcons are my third over that I absolutely love. I've actually said that this team reminds me of last year's Detroit Lions. I'm not saying that they're going to make it all the way to the NFC Championship game, but while the NFC North has now caught up a little bit to Detroit, the NFC South has not caught up to Atlanta.
Danny Parkins is filling in for Colin Cowherd for the next couple of days. Those were his three overs. We'll get to the unders here coming up in a bit. So you know what? To show support for my brother, I'm not going to give you three. I'm just going to give you one. I'm going to give you one of my favorite over-unders this year in the National Football League. The Rams are at 8.5? Hold on. You're telling me Sean McVay, who is 70-45 as a head coach, you were telling me Sean McVay that would have hit this over in 6 of his 7 years coaching in the National Football League. You're telling me that the under is 8.5? No, the number should be 9.5 for Sean McVay. I am very, very surprised to see where it is. Now, I get it. People are super high on San Francisco. Who else do you really, really like in that division? You like Seattle? You really like Arizona? No, I'm not buying it. I look at that Rams team from last year, had injuries virtually the entire season everywhere that you could potentially go. Stafford was banged up. Cooper Kupp was banged up. Aaron Donald was banged up last year. They just had injuries all around that team. I think the Rams bounced back this season. I think they're a little bit more normal than they were. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team, but last year they won 10 games, and that is with the Matthew Stafford that was hurt for a majority of the season. They also had a game that was started by Carson Wentz and Brett Rippon last year. Give me the over on the Los Angeles Rams. I will take the over on 8.5. I believe the Rams are going to have a winning record this season, and that would hit the over.
Okay, first things first. You love the Rams the way that couple loves Texas Roadhouse. You're always praising the Rams in the show. Believe me, my one lock of the century over.
Hold on, I just want to say, you're telling me a team that has gone to 2 Super Bowls and won 1 Super Bowl during the Patrick Mahomes era? Yes, I like that team.
You talk about that. Like, they also had 2 seasons where they were terrible, and they are trending toward bad again. Their regression is coming, if not has happened.
I mean, just like San Francisco, I mean, for all the praise that we have about Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, didn't they have the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft? It happens sometimes. Other than Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin, everybody has your ups and downs in this process. Everybody. So that doesn't scare me with the Los Angeles Rams. And if you're telling me the down period for the Rams, the down period was 1 year they won 5 games. That was a bad year. They then bounced back and they doubled their win total last year and won 10 games. Again, their over-under is 8.5. They would have hit the over in 6 of the 7 years that he's been the coach. Mark me down again. If you got Sean McVay, for the most part, he gives you a baseline of a winning record.
My one lock of an over, Packers 9.5. The Packers were 9-8 last season, but for a large portion of the season, they were trying to figure it out. Remember, Jordan Love came out of the gate the opposite of hot. He stumbled. There was talk, is the Packers' run ending? Is this, and they went from Favre to Rodgers, and now we're starting to see the slip up. And then, basically, from that Chiefs game on, the Packers looked like world beaters down the stretch because Jordan Love started looking really good down the stretch. They play a second place schedule and their over-under is at 9.5. You're telling me Jordan Love can't muster up one extra win from last year to this year? Packers 9.5. Mention a team that never falters. The Packers basically never falter. Over 9.5 Packers is my one lock.
I just want to give you guys one stat really quickly before we play Danny Parkin's unders. Danny Parkin, friend of the show, great friend of the show, is filling in for Colin Cowherd for the next couple of days. I would like to point out that Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay both started head coaching jobs in 2017. The Rams have had more wins than the Niners have had during the regular season. Now, the Niners have been to two Super Bowls. The Rams have been to two Super Bowls. They kind of been the same. One of them has won one of the Super Bowls. The other one has not. So I'm saying everybody loves Kyle Shanahan. He's this genius. He can do it with everybody. Look, he did it with Brock Purdy. Oh, we love him. They have been head coaches in the league the same amount of time since 2017 in the same division. Sean McVay is 70 and 45. Kyle Shanahan is 64 and 51. They have been to two Super Bowls. One coach has won one. The other one hasn't. And one of the coaches has blown two Super Bowl opportunities. The Niners certainly should have won the first one. And last year, I don't know if I use the term blown the first one, but they had a double-digit lead at halftime. You got to close that one. Sean McVay wouldn't have done that. Let me play one more for you guys. Our brother Danny Parkins is hosting on The Herd. He will also be on there tomorrow. So if you want to check him out, you can do so. He will be on the TV version right there on the TV. You can watch him. Here's what Danny Parkins. So he gave you the over. Here's his unders.
The Philadelphia Eagles, second consecutive season of losing both coordinators. Something's just wrong in Philly. And replacing Jason Kelce, the heart and soul of that team, that's the one that gets a lot of attention. DeAndre Swift, Hassan Reddick, Fletcher Cox, Kevin Byard. They lost a lot of veteran leadership. They lost a lot of experience. The finish to last season was an absolute disaster for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the other team in the state of Pennsylvania. Everyone knows Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record. It's going to change this year. The total there is 8.5 wins. I don't think the quarterback for 2025 is actually on Pittsburgh right now. Russell Wilson, way too conservative at the end of his time in Denver. Justin Fields, I do radio in Chicago, watched every snap that this guy took. Unbelievable guy, unbelievable athlete. Doesn't get to the second and third and fourth progression. So I think the 2025 quarterback for the Steelers is neither of those two guys. And then this is a low total to go under on. But the New England Patriots at 4.5, I think this is a 1, 2, maybe 3 win team. How are they going to score? They were the worst offense in the NFL last year. It's a first-time head coach. They used a first-round pick on Drake May, who I love. I think he's got all the makings of a great quarterback in 3 or 4 years. But they shouldn't play him because they don't have anyone to protect him and they don't have skill position talent around him. But the start of their schedule at Cincy, home against Seattle, at the Jets, at the Niners, home Dolphins, home Texans, that feels like 1-5 at best.
That was Danny Parkins. Those were his three favorite unders for the upcoming season. Let me give you my favorite under. Why are we doing this again with the Jets? What's that old saying in Tennessee? Fool me once, you can't be fooled again. Why are we doing this again with the Jets? Why? Haven't we done this enough? All the teams that are ahead of the Jets, I guess maybe other than the Cowboys, have actually kind of done something in the league. The Chiefs, the Niners, the Lions, the Eagles. We're talking about teams that have either gone to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, made it to the NFC or AFC championship game. Buffalo has made a run recently. The Ravens have made a run recently. The Bengals have made a run recently. Everybody has made a run other than the Jets. Why are we doing this with the Jets? Their over-under is 9.5. They're going to be a double-digit win team. Do you guys know the last time the Jets won double-digit games? 2015. You want to know the last time the Jets had a winning record? 2015. Why are we doing this with the Jets? 9.5? Their quarterback doesn't think enough of their roster to be there during mandatory camp. He's taking vacation. He ain't locked in. They still got the same bad offensive line, right? No, I'm not doing it with the Jets. You fooled a lot of us last year. You will not fool me this year. Give me the under on the New York Jets. They are a 9-8 or a disappointing team, and then we look up and we think, oh, man, how did this happen? They have Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterbacks. The Jets are not a 10-11 win football team. They are not a championship contending team. Give me the Jets under.
That's a safe bet. If you want a lock of a century, the only under, Raiders. The number's 6.5, Carrington. No chance. The Raiders are not winning more than six football games in 2024. They don't have a quarterback. Like, they just don't have one. They, this offseason, decided Gardner Minshew is our path, which is insanity to me. And how many times in the NFL have we seen, hey, the interim coach, something good happens in the season, they hire the interim coach, and then it all falls apart. Very Romeo Crennel vibes out there in Vegas. No quarterback. They're supporting their interim coach who became the real coach. Everyone got a year older, like Devontae Adams and Max Crosby. They're not young anymore. Raiders under 6.5 just feels like lock it in.
Text line 913-586-7610. Hey, C-Dot, the Jets are stacked, though. If Rodgers stays healthy, they should be pretty good. We do this same game with five teams every year. Every year. Oh, man. Hey, I really like their team other than the quarterback position. Their quarterback is 40 years old and coming off an Achilles injury. That's just not a team that I'm banking heavily on. I will take the under with the Jets. I will feel very happy about the under with the Jets, and I will not look back or think twice about it. Danny Parkins, tomorrow, if you want to check him out, he is hosting for Colin Cowherd today and tomorrow. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's talk about the four all-stars that the Royals have on their team. And we did an over-under not that long ago where we set the over-under for Royals all-stars at 2.5. I think it then became very obvious that the number was set wrong. You know, lines move from time to time. We then set it at 3.5. Well, you can go to the window and cash in on both of them. They got four all-stars. I will say this. I am a little bit surprised, Rob, and I want to get your thoughts on if you're surprised as well. I am surprised that both Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans both made it to the team. it kind of felt like they were going to have to choose one of them and not both of them. Now, I'm certainly happy that both of them made the team. And I think that Cole Reagan sort of fits the theme that I think this year's All-Star game needs to have. There are 19 players who are making the All-Star game for their first time and are also under the age of 27. So we are living in a great period of young talent in baseball. And from all nationalities, all walks of life, all different cultures, this is a generation that baseball really needs to figure out and really needs to know how to market. And over the next 10 days, baseball should have a really solid game plan. How do we push Gunnar Henderson? How do we push Bobby Witt Jr.? How do we push Ellie De La Cruz? How do we push some of our young stars of baseball and get them more visible and make them more of a household name while we have this All-Star break that is really about them? There are no great legends of the game in this one. We're not paying respect to anybody or their career or any of that. This is about celebrating the future of baseball and feeling like it's in really good hands. So for that reason, I understand why Cole Reagan is there. I also think that he is certainly deserving to be there. I would have guessed that Reagan's probably would have got there as an alternate. He doesn't get named to the original team. They have just three All-Stars. And then inevitably, someone can't go. Somebody pitches, so they give up their spot for somebody else. That's how I would have guessed that Reagan's made the team. But the fact that the Royals, for the first time in franchise history, got two starting pitchers named to the team, and you also got your two best and most popular positional players, you cannot say that baseball overlooked you or didn't include you in this. You got your future Hall of Famer. You got your young up-and-coming position player, one of the best acquisitions of any team in Major League Baseball this offseason. And you also got a really great story with Cole Reagan. You have to be thrilled if you're a Royals fan about how things have played itself out related to the All-Star team.
I was probably less surprised than you that Reagan's made it. Reagan's numbers are deserving of someone who needed to be in the All-Star game. I understand why, you know, maybe two-fifths of the Royals starting rotation not being in the All-Star game would have made some people be more understanding, but the Royals pitching has been one of the stories of the first half. Not the story, but it's been one of the stories of the first half. So I'm not too surprised that he and Lugo both made it. But as far as Royals fans are concerned, this is all you can ask for. You had your two biggest stars, the two biggest names on your team, Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. They were the two finalists to be starters their position. You lost out on the voting. You came up against Baltimore, bigger market, the whatever, you know, the excuse is, but you were in the 11th hour with your two biggest stars ready to go. They now make the All-Star game, and your pitching, which has been sensational all year round, brings two of their players to the party as well, including a guy who should very much be in the Cy Young conversation like we've talked on the show, in Seth Lugo. I imagine in Royals fans' wildest dreams back in April, if I told them they have four All-Stars, even the most homery of homers was that I don't know how you get to four. This was a near perfect result for the Royals, which is why I think that week of baseball between now and the All-Star game is important. You have a little momentum in the city because you have four All-Stars. Don't lose a series of the Cardinals and then lose a series of the Red Sox and have a little of that equity slip out of your fingers.
And I think what is really cool about the four All-Stars that got selected is they all have different journeys and maybe show different stages of where you are as an organization. You have the elder statesman in Salvador Perez. He is a reminder of, hey, the Royals used to be good and maybe wasn't that long. But hey, let's not forget that Salvador Perez was on a World Series team, was a key part of a World Series team, and is a World Series MVP. Not many people can say that about their career. You also have Bobby Witt Jr. He is your prodigy. He is your future. The next 10 years, 12 years, he's going to play in this game 7-8 times over the course of his career. Bobby Witt Jr. is there. Seth Lugo, Cole Reagan's, they are examples of what this organization could be moving forward. Those are not guys that were drafted by the Kansas City Royals, not guys that were quote-unquote developed by the Royals. You went out and you got Seth Lugo and you had to compete against the rest of Major League Baseball and you won. And look at what it's turned into. A guy that is in the short list conversation for Cy Young Award winner. Cole Reagans was a player that we didn't talk a whole lot about when the trade was made for Aroldis Chapman. And now look, a year and a half later, he is going to the All-Star game. The Royals as an organization, as a front office, get a lot of credit for what they've done with Cole Reagans and turning him into an All-Star. He is not included in the trade if Texas thought that's what he could potentially be and be a guy who could be a potential All-Star starting caliber pitcher, which is what he has turned into. So, I mean, you can take a little bit of a victory lap if you're the Royals. Obviously, job not finished when you're talking about what you need to accomplish and making the playoffs and being one of those contending teams. But the fact that you got four All-Stars, and there are not many teams in baseball that have more representation in the Midsummer Classic than you are going to have. The ratings are going to do really well in Kansas City. They should do really well. Bobby Witt Jr. is participating in the Home Run Derby. It's not Kansas City's weekend, but they certainly are one of the bigger stories for next week.
And to further your point about taking a victory lap, and I understand job's not done and no one is saying, hey, it's July 8th, let's have a parade. But I feel like there was some sense in town, maybe intrepidation is the word, that going from Dayton to JJ, it would be more of the same. But you know what? The four All-Stars the Royals have shown it's not more of the same in the JJ regime. They got Cole Reagans, as you highlighted, for Aroldis Chapman. They also went out and spent money. It's not lost on me, the Royals ownership GM. It wasn't always a spending palooza. They got Seth Lugo because they were willing to go the extra mile for his money. Now, it has worked out great, and there have been times where it doesn't work out great. But that's JJ saying, hey, I'm gonna push the number up to get my guy. Bobby Witt Jr., they developed him in their system. That is a come-up story. So they've shown they can draft, they can develop, they can identify pitching, they're willing to spend the money on pitching, the trade, and then Salvador Perez Carrington was this time last year when the Royals were in the absolute doldrums. There were rumors, there was speculation. Are the Royals going to move Salvador Perez the deadline? Remember, people were thinking maybe Chicago, if he can go be with Pedro Grifol again. That was a common sentiment. Salvador Perez's name was attached to all MLB trade rumors at last deadline. JJ Piccolo said, nope, I didn't get the deal I wanted. I'm sticking with my guy. I know he's more important to my club than another club. And look, lo and behold, another All-Star game and a very deserving one for the Royals captain.
Coming up on the other side, I got some stats about baseball. I want to get you guys' opinion on what it means and what my takeaway from the numbers are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I want to read to you guys a couple of stats, a couple of numbers, and just get your opinions on it. And Rob, you are a bigger baseball guy than me. What does this mean to you? So today, present day, 2024, the average for a Major League Baseball hitter is .242. On base percentage is .312. Slugging percentage is .395. In a baseball game, there is an average of around 8 strikeouts in a game. Currently in Major League Baseball, there are 11 players who are hitting over .300. So I did this, and then I scroll back to 2004, because I wanted to see, hey, where was this 20 years ago? Was this common? Was this uncommon? Where were we at 20 years ago? Well, Rob, just 20 years ago, the average strikeouts in a game were around 6. Batting average, .226. On base percentage was .335. Slugging percentage was .428. So over the course of the last 20 years, strikeouts have jumped up. Teams are hitting 20 points lower than they were hitting before. They are getting on base at a worse clip. They are slugging at a worse clip, striking out more. What does that mean to you? Is that analytics? Is that launch angle? Is that how we are teaching them? Because I'm just thinking about when baseball is at its most exciting. And right now, I would say baseball, in terms of the pace and speed of the game, is where you want it to be. You're getting baseball done in about 2 hours and 37 minutes. The attendance numbers are up. It's a really good product. But baseball is at its best when the ball is put into play. And it's not just offensively. If the ball is put into play, you have more chances to see a great defensive play, a play in the outfield, a shortstop, a second baseman making a great play when players are making contact and putting the ball in the field. That's not what's happening right now in Major League Baseball. Baseball is at its best when players are hitting doubles and triples and the excitement of seeing them run base to base. That's when baseball is fun and really enjoyable. That's not really the baseball games that we are currently getting. When you hear these numbers and hear that over 20 years, the batting average is down 20 points, strikeouts are up, players are getting on base at a worse percentage than they were, they're striking out more. As someone who really appreciates baseball, what does that information say to you?
It highlights something that I've heard people who are a lot smarter than me talk about. I've heard Jeff Passan on podcast talk about this. It is something that keeps coming up in the national baseball conversation. Pitching is light years ahead of hitting right now. And I don't know the solution because Carrington, and I'll use Kansas City as an example. Seth Lugo's great this year. Seth Lugo throws like three or four different variations of a slider. He can crank it up velocity. He can turn it down velocity. There's the sweeper. There's the slider. There's all this stuff. He does drive line or whatever that is in the offseason. Velocity is up. All these things. Pitching is just way ahead of hitting right now. And I don't know if it's as simple as the way we're teaching it. I don't know if it's launch angle. I don't know if it's analytics. But it is something that is definitely noted. Pitching is just ahead at all turns of hitting. And you're right. When the ball's in play and those kind of things are happening, it's a great time. But instead of saying, hey, what do we do to fix the problems? I think we have to find a way to get hitters to be developed at the same level as pitchers. Like, pitching is just ahead right now. And I don't know there's a solution, but that's what those numbers highlight to me, is that pitching is just ahead of the curve and hitting, for whatever reason, is behind it because velocity's up. People have learned how to manipulate pitches better. Like, what is it, Pitching Ninja, that Twitter account? You see some of the pitches pitchers are throwing, you think to yourself, I don't know how a human being is going to hit that pitch. It's just a problem that pitching is so far ahead of hitting.
Are we ready to then make some changes to baseball? Because I looked it up. Do you want to know the last time that the average for a hitter is where it is right now was in 1967. Anytime you were reaching offensive numbers before the man landed on the moon, maybe it's time to make a couple of changes and tweak the game just a little bit. Now, I know the purists are going to say, but it's baseball. I mean, they've raised the mound before. They've lowered the mound before. They make changes in other sports. There was a time where you could stand in the lane in the NBA. They then changed it. There was a time that they put a restricted area where you can't stand there. There was a time where it was harder to complete passes in the NFL, and they opened things up to make it more likely that you can complete a pass. We have seen sort of tinkering with how we watch and view sports, and we have seen them do things to make it more offensive friendly. Baseball would be a better product if they cut down on strikeouts and hitters put the ball in play at a much higher percentage. And the fact that I could read the numbers for you guys in 1967 and 2024, and you could not tell a big difference in walks, strikeout. You could not tell that big of a difference is not great for, I would say, the game from an entertainment perspective. I mean, during the steroids era, and I know that was a bigger part of it, the average is 267. We certainly didn't complain about guys hitting home runs in 2001 and 2002. They were hitting a lot of home runs during this period. If we are just talking about solely about the baseball, what you are watching, removing any agenda, we are watching less entertaining baseball today than we have ever had at any point in our lives. What are we doing to fix that and to better highlight the fact of you do have so many great young stars today? You do have Bobby Witt Jr. and De La Cruz and Fernando Tatis. We can go through the list. I mean, you got 30 or 40 all-time hitters, great offensive players. How are we doing a better job of showcasing those players and making baseball a more exciting product?
Yeah, but... And listen, I'm all for tinkering. I don't mind tinkering. I'm not one of those purists. I'm not the guy who, you know, old man yells at cloud. I'm for tinkering. But hasn't baseball already done some tinkering with the intent of trying to do the things you're saying? Like, they outlawed the shift. The idea was, hey, you know, Batting average is down because if guys hit a ground ball, there's five people standing in the way as opposed to the usual two. We'll outlaw the shift. We haven't seen dramatic improvement in batting average because of the outlaw of the shift. I think right now what you're just seeing is pitching's ahead. Like someone on the text line says it perfectly. It doesn't matter how good hitters are. Paul Skenes and people like that are just difficult to get hits off of. Yeah, when Paul Skenes, and he'll be my example, Livy Dunn's boyfriend, for those of you who don't know, when he's throwing 100 consistently, you're not hitting it. When he can pinpoint his location with a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, and he can do it for over 7 innings, you know what you're doing on that day? You're not getting 5 runs. You're not putting 6 balls in play. You're not getting 3 triples. He's just better than you. And there are more guys like that on the mound than there are hitters in the box. And I think we've tried tweaks, but it hasn't come to this roaring success. If we keep tweaking and keep doing this, are we going to see results, or are we just going to realize, whoops-a-doodle, pitching's ahead of the curve?
Yeah, we'll certainly see that this is the case. I mean, I would say we had a very similar argument this year in the National Football League. The defenses have caught up. No, I just think quarterback plays like bad. Like, I don't think the NFL has figured out how to develop quarterbacks. And for all the, hey, it's the most important position in the NFL, there's like 5 of them that people like. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying that pitching obviously is no part of it. But the fact that over the last 20 years, we have seen the hitting rapidly decline. I mean, it's basically been, it cut 10 points off batting average in 2014, and then 10 years later, another 10. Like, what's the bottom of this thing? Are we heading towards a product where, hey, the average hitter is hitting around 215, 220, and is that a fun version of baseball that we maybe want a little bit of balance? Things usually work when we think it's even on both sides. I'm not here advocating that every baseball game needs to be some 11-9, you know, slugfest. I don't think that's in the best interest of baseball. Just give me a consistent, nice, you know, 6-3, 6-4 game with guys putting the ball in play and running around the bases. That's usually when I think that baseball is at its absolute best. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. If you missed it, Bobby Witt Jr. has been named to the Home Run Derby team. And just a couple of days ago, J.J. Piccolo said he was cool with it.
No, it wouldn't bother us at all. Bobby's done a couple home run derbies. He did one in the Futures game a couple years ago, and he did one in an all-star game at a major league park when he was a high school kid. Bobby knows his body so well, and if Bobby was asked and he decided to do it, it's because he feels like it wouldn't affect him. So it wouldn't bother us at all. I think it's a great event. Everybody points to the one or two guys that have struggled the second half of the year, but there's a ton of guys that have not. So we always tend to, you know, well, there was this one guy that, you know, and I remember it was Bobby Abreu years ago.
Yeah.
That fell off the second half. And there's more guys, far more guys, that don't fall off the second half than do fall off. So Bobby's a special player. And if Major League Baseball is asking him to be in the Home Run Derby, that's a clear acknowledgement that he's a star in this game. And that's quite the honor.
I will always say this about baseball and why I think the Home Run Derby still matters and why it's so special. And you want to talk about things that they tinker with. I hate the fact that they consistently change the rules for the Home Run Derby. What's so cool about the Derby is they have gotten the players to buy into it, and they see it as, we need to do the Home Run Derby. Anybody that we have ever wanted to see do the Home Run Derby has signed up for it at least once. I don't need you to do the Home Run Derby 5, 6, 7 times. Shohei doesn't have to continue to do it. But Shohei, it is a tradition here that you need to do the Home Run Derby. Fine, I will do it one time. I think that's all you ask. I hate the fact that in the NBA, it has become cool to not participate in the dunk contest. And that is what has killed the event. The Home Run Derby still matters, and it's still relevant, is because they get everybody to do it. If you want to see Mike Trout do the Home Run Derby, you can Google it. He's done it before. If you want to see Bryce Harper do it, if you want to see fill in the blank great hitter that we have had over the last 30 years, they have all signed up to do the Home Run Derby. So it's just time for Bobby Witt Jr. to do it. Hey, this is your first All-Star game. Gunnar Henderson is doing it. I would love if they put those two against each other. And if it's going to be a head-to-head format, hey, put two of the young stars of Major League Baseball against each other and have them do it. And let's see who goes out there and hits the home run during the time frame. I think it's really awesome that Bobby Witt Jr. is doing it. Sure, we'll have some questions on the back half about what it means for its swing. But at some point, every team in baseball, if you have a good hitter? You have had to answer that question about what to do. We got enough data to suggest, hey, some guys it's going to work, some guys it's not going to work, some guys it's not going to have an effect. I don't have any problem with Bobby Witt Jr. doing it. Again, it's time. It's time for him to do it. It's the first one. It's in Texas. This is the absolute time to do it. I remember in the NBA, and you remember this too, Rob, I think it was 2016, that the All-Star game was in Toronto, and everybody wanted Andrew Wiggins to do the dunk contest. Hey, it's in Toronto. It's the first time it's ever been in Canada. You are from Toronto. Do the dunk contest. Of course, Andrew Wiggins didn't want to do it and didn't sign up. And it has just been like how every single time you kind of, we have never been excited to see Andrew Wiggins do anything in basketball. The one time we want him to do something, he's too cool to do it. I like the fact that baseball players are not too cool to participate in the Home Run Derby. I think it's awesome.
I also think you're right, first and foremost, but I think this is largely a new phenomenon, and maybe this is me with my blue-colored glasses on, that's fine. But you don't know why the Boo Cano movement hit the, you know, force it did in Kansas City? It's because Kansas City wanted Billy Butler to do the Home Run Derby, and guess what? Billy Butler didn't do the Home Run Derby. Like, they had Robinson Cano instead. That's why that whole hashtag Boo Cano movement started. That's why that moment at Kauffman that is etched in so many fans' mind existed. That moment exists because Kansas City felt like they got robbed of seeing their guy in the Home Run Derby. So that moment probably sticks in, you know, the mind of a lot of the executives over at Major League Baseball, because since then you've had basically everyone you want to see do it. Like, it's in their hometown, or it's like, hey, it's going to be a great show this person is going to put on. I think Justin Morneau did it one year in Minnesota. Like, it has become more and more of a thing. When we were kids, we saw the stars do it. We saw McGuire. We saw Griffey. We saw Sosa do it. But now there's like the added sprinkling, the added flavoring of we want the nice story. And it seems like ever since the Butler fiasco, or at least a fiasco on the eyes of Major League Baseball, people have figured this out. Bobby wants to do it. The team's willing to have Bobby do it. Bobby's willing to do it. He's from Texas. This is a win, 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 win for everyone. Do not have a bad moment. Get him in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, it just seems like a no-brainer. Again, once you got Gunnar Henderson to agree to do it, you had to ask Bobby Witt Jr. to do it to create that moment. These are the two best young superstars in baseball. They play the same position. They're both in the American League. They both are in their first All-Star game. This is their first Home Run Derby. They might not do it again. It's in Texas. Please get Bobby Witt Jr. to sign up to do it. I think I got the tone from when we talked to him last week. All you had to do was ask him. Yeah, I want to do it. That's the thing. You got guys that want to do the Home Run Contest. You can't get anybody of note in the NBA to want to sign up to do the dunk contest. So, again, I will give baseball a lot of credit. Now, Rob, I regret to tell you this, and maybe this is nonsense, and we'll find out that it's not true. Did you hear who is rumored to be the Super Bowl halftime performer for next year's game? Miley Cyrus right now is considered to be the favorite. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I want to read to you guys a couple of stats, a couple of numbers, and just get your opinions on it. And Rob, you are a bigger baseball guy than me. What does this mean to you? So today, present day, 2024, the average for a Major League Baseball hitter is .242. On base percentage is .312. Slugging percentage is .395. In a baseball game, there is an average of around 8 strikeouts in a game. Currently, in Major League Baseball, there are 11 players who are hitting over .300. So I did this, and then I scroll back to 2004, because I wanted to see, hey, where was this 20 years ago? Was this common? Was this uncommon? Where were we at 20 years ago? Well, Rob, just 20 years ago, the average strikeouts in a game were around 6. Batting average, .226. On base percentage was .335. Slugging percentage was .428. So over the course of the last 20 years, strikeouts have jumped up. Teams are hitting 20 points lower than they were hitting before. They are getting on base at a worse clip. They are slugging at a worse clip, striking out more. What does that mean to you? Is that analytics? Is that launch angle? Is that how we are teaching them? Because I'm just thinking about when baseball is at its most exciting. And right now, I would say baseball, in terms of the pace and speed of the game, is where you want it to be. You're getting baseball done in about 2 hours and 37 minutes. The attendance numbers are up. It's a really good product. But baseball is at its best when the ball is put into play. And it's not just offensively. If the ball is put into play, you have more chances to see a great defensive play, a play in the outfield, a shortstop, a second baseman making a great play when players are making contact and putting the ball in the field. That's not what's happening right now in Major League Baseball. Baseball is at its best when players are hitting doubles and triples and the excitement of seeing them run base to base. That's when baseball is fun and really enjoyable. That's not really the baseball games that we are currently getting. When you hear these numbers and hear that over 20 years, the batting average is down 20 points, strikeouts are up, players are getting on base at a worse percentage than they were, they're striking out more. As someone who really appreciates baseball, what does that information say to you?
It highlights something that I've heard people who are a lot smarter than me talk about. I've heard Jeff Passan on podcast talk about this. It is something that keeps coming up in the national baseball conversation. Pitching is light years ahead of hitting right now. And I don't know the solution because Carrington, and I'll use Kansas City as an example. Seth Lugo's great this year. Seth Lugo throws like three or four different variations of a slider. He can crank it up velocity. He can turn it down velocity. There's the sweeper. There's the slider. There's all this stuff. He does drive line or whatever that is in the offseason. Velocity is up. All these things. Pitching is just way ahead of hitting right now. And I don't know if it's as simple as the way we're teaching it. I don't know if it's launch angle. I don't know if it's analytics. But it is something that is definitely noted. Pitching is just ahead at all turns of hitting. And you're right. When the ball's in play and those kind of things are happening, it's a great time. But instead of saying, hey, what do we do to fix the problems? I think we have to find a way to get hitters to be developed at the same level as pitchers. Like, pitching is just ahead right now. And I don't know there's a solution, but that's what those numbers highlight to me, is that pitching is just ahead of the curve and hitting, for whatever reason, is behind it because velocity's up. People have learned how to manipulate pitches better. Like, what is it, Pitching Ninja, that Twitter account? You see some of the pitches pitchers are throwing, you think to yourself, I don't know how a human being is going to hit that pitch. It's just a problem that pitching is so far ahead of hitting.
Are we ready to then make some changes to baseball? Because I looked it up. Do you want to know the last time? The last time that the average for a hitter is where it is right now was in 1967. Anytime you were reaching offensive numbers before the man landed on the moon, maybe it's time to make a couple of changes and tweak the game just a little bit. Now, I know the purists are going to say, but it's baseball. I mean, they've raised the mound before. They've lowered the mound before. They make changes in other sports. There was a time where you could stand in the lane in the NBA. They then changed it. There was a time that they put a restricted area where you can't stand there. There was a time where it was harder to complete passes in the NFL, and they opened things up to make it more likely that you can complete a pass. We have seen sort of tinkering with how we watch and view sports, and we have seen them do things to make it more offensive-friendly. Baseball would be a better product if they cut down on strikeouts and hitters put the ball in play at a much higher percentage. And the fact that I could read the numbers for you guys in 1967 and 2024, and you could not tell a big difference in, you know, walks, strikeout, you could not tell that big of a difference, is not great for, I would say, the game from an entertainment perspective. I mean, during the steroids era, and I know that was a bigger part of it, the average is 267. We certainly didn't complain about guys hitting home runs in 2001 and 2002. They were hitting a lot of home runs during this period. If we are just talking about solely about the baseball, what you are watching, removing any agenda, we are watching less entertaining baseball today than we have ever had at any point in our lives. What are we doing to fix that and to better highlight the fact of you do have so many great young stars today? You do have Bobby Witt Jr. and De La Cruz and Fernando Tatis. We can go through the list. I mean, you got 30 or 40 all-time hitters, great offensive players. How are we doing a better job of showcasing those players and making baseball a more exciting product?
Yeah, but And listen, I'm all for tinkering. I don't mind tinkering. I'm not one of those purists. I'm not the guy who, you know, old man yells at cloud. I'm for tinkering. But hasn't baseball already done some tinkering with the intent of trying to do the things you're saying? Like, they outlawed the shift. The idea was, hey, you know, batting average is down because if guys hit a ground ball, there's five people standing in the way as opposed to the usual two. We'll outlaw the shift. We haven't seen dramatic improvement in batting average because of the outlaw of the shift. I think right now what you're just seeing is pitching's ahead. Like someone on the text line says it perfectly. It doesn't matter how good hitters are. Paul Skeens and people like that are just difficult to get hits off of. Yeah, when Paul Skeens, and he'll be my example, Livy Dunn's boyfriend, for those of you who don't know, when he's throwing 100 consistently, you're not hitting it. When he can pinpoint his location with a 102-mile-an-hour fastball and he can do it for over 7 innings, you know what you're doing on that day? You're not getting 5 runs. You're not putting 6 balls in play. You're not getting 3 triples. He's just better than you. And there are more guys like that on the mound than there are hitters in the box. And I think we've tried tweaks, but it hasn't come to this roaring success. If we keep tweaking and keep doing this, are we going to see results, or are we just going to realize, whoops-a-doodle, pitching's ahead of the curve?
Yeah, we'll certainly see that this is the case. I mean, I would say we had a very similar argument this year in the National Football League that defenses have caught up. No, I just think quarterback plays like bad. Like, I don't think the NFL has figured out how to develop quarterbacks. And for all the, hey, it's the most important position in the NFL, there's like 5 of them that people like. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying that pitching obviously is no part of it. But the fact that over the last 20 years, we have seen the hitting rapidly decline. I mean, it's basically been, it cut 10 points off batting average in 2014, and then 10 years later, another 10. Like, what's the bottom of this thing? Are we heading towards a product where, hey, the average hitter is hitting around 215, 220, and is that a fun version of baseball that we maybe want a little bit of balance? Things usually work when we think it's even on both sides. I'm not here advocating that every baseball game needs to be some 11-9, you know, slugfest. I don't think that's in the best interest of baseball. Just give me a consistent, nice, you know, 6-3, 6-4 game with guys putting the ball in play and running around the bases. That's usually when I think the baseball is at its absolute best. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. If you missed it, Bobby Witt Jr. has been named to the Home Run Derby team. And just a couple of days ago, J.J. Piccolo said he was cool with it.
No, it wouldn't bother us at all. Bobby's done a couple home run derbies. He did one in the Futures game a couple years ago, and he did one in an all-star game at a major league park when he was a high school kid. Bobby knows his body so well, and if Bobby was asked and he decided to do it, it's because he feels like it wouldn't affect him. So it wouldn't bother us at all. I think it's a great event. Everybody points to the one or two guys that have struggled the second half of the year, but there's a ton of guys that have not. So we always tend to, you know, well, there was this one guy that, you know, and I remember it was Bobby Abreu years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
That fell off the second half. And there's more guys, far more guys, that don't fall off the second half than do fall off. So Bobby's a special player. And if Major League Baseball is asking him to be in the Home Run Derby, that's a clear acknowledgement that he's a star in this game. And that's quite the honor.
I will always say this about baseball and why I think the Home Run Derby still matters and why it's so special. And you want to talk about things that they tinker with. I hate the fact that they consistently change the rules for the Home Run Derby. What's so cool about the Derby is they have gotten the players to buy into it, and they see it as, we need to do the Home Run Derby. Anybody that we have ever wanted to see do the Home Run Derby has signed up for it at least once. I don't need you to do the Home Run Derby 5, 6, 7 times. Shohei doesn't have to continue to do it. But Shohei, it is a tradition here that you need to do the Home Run Derby. Fine, I will do it one time. I think that's all you ask. I hate the fact that in the NBA, it has become cool to not participate in the dunk contest, and that is what has killed the event. The Home Run Derby still matters, and it's still relevant, is because they get everybody to do it. If you want to see Mike Trout do the Home Run Derby, you can Google it. He's done it before. If you want to see Bryce Harper do it, if you want to see fill-in-the-blank great hitter that we have had over the last 30 years, they have all signed up to do the Home Run Derby. So it's just time for Bobby Witt Jr. to do it. Hey, hey, this is your first All-Star game. Gunnar Henderson is doing it. I would love if they put those two against each other. And if it's going to be a head-to-head format, hey, put two of the young stars of Major League Baseball against each other and have them do it. And let's see who goes out there and hits the home run during the time frame. I think it's really awesome that Bobby Witt Jr. is doing it. Sure, we'll have some questions on the back half about what it means for its swing. But at some point, every team in baseball, if you have a good hitter, you have had to answer that question about what to do. We got enough data to suggest, hey, some guys it's going to work, some guys it's not going to work, some guys it's not going to have an effect. I don't have any problem with Bobby Witt Jr. doing it. Again, it's time. It's time for him to do it. It's the first one. It's in Texas. This is the absolute time to do it. I remember in the NBA, and you remember this too, Rob, I think it was 2016, that the All-Star game was in Toronto, and everybody wanted Andrew Wiggins to do the dunk contest. Hey, it's in Toronto. It's the first time it's ever been in Canada. You are from Toronto. Do the dunk contest. Of course, Andrew Wiggins didn't want to do it and didn't sign up. And it has just been like how every single time you kind of, we have never been excited to see Andrew Wiggins do anything in basketball. The one time we want him to do something, he's too cool to do it. I like the fact that baseball players are not too cool to participate in the home run derby. I think it's awesome.
I also think you're right, first and foremost, but I think this is largely a new phenomenon, and maybe this is me with my blue colored glasses on, that's fine. But you don't know why the Boo Cano movement hit the, you know, force it did in Kansas City? It's because Kansas City wanted Billy Butler to do the home run derby. And guess what? Billy Butler didn't do the home run derby. Like, they had Robinson Cano instead. That's why that whole hashtag Boo Cano movement started. That's why that moment at Kauffman that is etched in so many fans' mind existed. That moment exists because Kansas City felt like they got robbed of seeing their guy in the home run derby. So that moment probably sticks in, you know, the mind of a lot of the executives over at Major League Baseball, because since then you've had basically everyone you want to see do it. Like, it's in their hometown, or it's like, hey, it's going to be a great show this person is going to put on. I think Justin Morneau did it one year in Minnesota. Like, it has become more and more of a thing. When we were kids, we saw the stars do it. We saw McGuire. We saw Griffey. We saw Sosa do it. But now there's like the added sprinkling, the added flavoring of we want the nice story. And it seems like ever since the Butler fiasco, or at least a fiasco on the eyes of Major League Baseball, people have figured this out. Bobby wants to do it. The team's willing to have Bobby do it. Bobby's willing to do it. He's from Texas. This is a win, 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 win for everyone. Do not have a bad moment. Get him in the home run derby.
Yeah, it just seems like a no-brainer. Again, once you got Gunnar Henderson to agree to do it, you had to ask Bobby Witt Jr. to do it to create that moment. These are the two best young superstars in baseball. They play the same position. They're both in the American League. They both are in their first All-Star game. This is their first home run derby. They might not do it again. It's in Texas. Please get Bobby Witt Jr. to sign up to do it. I think I got the tone from when we talked to him last week. All you had to do was ask him. Yeah, I want to do it. That's the thing. You got guys that want to do the home run contest. You can't get anybody of note in the NBA to want to sign up to do the dunk contest. So, again, I will give baseball a lot of credit. Now, Rob, I regret to tell you this, and maybe this is nonsense, and we'll find out that it's not true. Did you hear who is rumored to be the Super Bowl halftime performer for next year's game? Miley Cyrus right now is considered to be the favorite to perform at the halftime show. Really?
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm chewing on this. I
Miley
don't hate this.
Cyrus?
That flower song absolutely slaps, okay, as the kids say.
All right.
Party in the USA, Wrecking Ball, you know she's going to put on a great performance. I don't hate the idea.
Miley Cyrus is one of the favorites to do it. I get it. Taylor Swift is the favorite to do it, but until she agrees, you would just always go to plan B. And if I'm the NFL, I ask Taylor Swift every single year, do you want to perform the halftime show? And you let her decide if she wants to do it or not. Now, Beyonce has done it a couple times. Justin Timberlake has done it a couple times. Like, you have gotten a majority of the pop stars that you really want to do the Super Bowl. You have gotten them to do it. We're now down to Miley Cyrus as the halftime entertainment. I mean, I guess y'all can have that one. I'm okay.
I mean,
that's time to go to the bathroom. I'm not interested in watching that. I'm okay. I get it. It can't always be the music that I want it to be, and it yep. has been for the last couple of years. So I imagine we got to spread around. Why can't they get Morgan Wallen to do it? You're telling me there's not a really popular country star right now that wouldn't do the halftime show if they asked him to do it? Miley Cyrus is the one we have to ask to do it?
Where is the Super Bowl this year, though? Like,
well, I know it ain't in Nashville. I know that much. I know it ain't in Nashville. Oh, it's in New Orleans. Come on now. We got her doing it in New Orleans? Come on now. I'd rather you have a jazz band come out and do it. Why can't you just have marching bands come out and do it? We can't have that be the halftime show. Miley Cyrus is currently the favorite to do the halftime? No, no thanks. I wouldn't want Miley Cyrus to be the halftime performance for Chiefs Ravens. Come on now, Rob. You know that's a bad one.
I don't think there have been worse. I don't think it's like the A+, but I think it's, you get a passing grade, B minus, B, maybe a B plus, which puts on a good show. It's way better than, I mean, the years we had the Who do it because we got scared of all anything that happened there.
I would just say it's time for a popular country singer to do it. You had Rihanna do it recently. You had Usher do it recently. You had the Dr. Dre and Friends one to do it. Just get a country singer to do it. You're telling me that Kenny Chesney wouldn't sign up to do it? You can't get him to do it? We got to go to Miley? You have to be in the current top 10 of pop power ranking to be considered to do the Super Bowl.
Not right now?
Or you got to be a legacy act. I get why Usher did it, right? Usher's given us hits for 20 years. Can you name 10 Miley Cyrus songs and she's eligible for the Super Bowl?
I mean, she did Wrecking Ball. She did Party in the USA. She did that flower song was number one in the country just, 6 months ago? I think you're putting a little shade on Miley's name.
I think if you go to Miley Cyrus Essentials, I think you're looking at it like, there's a lot to be desired. I don't think you're super excited about the Miley Cyrus Essentials. I don't think you're going crazy for the Miley Cyrus Greatest Hits album. I don't think it's moving. I don't think it's doing numbers. She's definitely no Katy Perry. I mean, what are we talking about there? Katy has legitimate hits.
If J-Lo didn't bring Shakira in, I think it's in the same vein.
Yeah, and J-Lo shouldn't have done the Super Bowl halftime. She shouldn't have done it either. If you're telling me that she's J-Lo, then thank you. I rest my case. J-Lo shouldn't have been up there, and Miley Cyrus shouldn't be up there either. We need to try again. That's what we need to do. We need to spin the wheel again, go back to Taylor Swift and offer her something different. Let Taylor do it. I mean, she's been taking over NFL stadiums for the last 2 years anyway. Let her shake it off, and I don't know what song she's got, but I know she got more hits than Miley Cyrus has. That's who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Morgan Wallen. Go sing Last Night or whatever the songs you got. Go sing that up there. Who's that dude that said to not try it in a small town? You know what? It's in New Orleans this year. Maybe he shouldn't do it. Maybe we go to Minnesota and then we'll let him do it. That's, you know what, let me take that back. I don't know if that's the kind of song that's going to play in New Orleans. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories. The Royals have it four All-Stars. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.